For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hoopballers! Welcome back to another episode and another edition of Today in Sports Betting. I am your host, Devin Ellington, or at DALE007 on Twitter. This is a hoop-ball.com presentation. As always, we are brought to you by manscaped.com and mybookie.ag. You'll hear some promo reads within the show, so I'm not going to harp about it too much at the beginning of the show. I'd rather talk about our premium content over at hoop-ball.com and the free content. Come for the free stuff, stay for the party and the premium side. That's my philosophy. I always show up for at least the punch and the cookies. It's the only reason I went to my junior year prom. You know, I showed up, I ate free stuff, and I left. So, you know, you can operate under the same way with HoopBall. Just come and check out the free stuff. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But I guarantee you'll have something that you find in there that you like. And then with the premium side, you know, in this offseason we're about to have, it's going to be very weird for fantasy basketball players because we're entering the post-COVID era, you know, of humanity, of sports, whatever you want to call it. So you're going to need information that's very inundated. You're going to need information that's clear and concise. Award-winning information is always great, which our main man, Mr. Aaron Brewski, the president himself, Brew, he wins awards with his basketball rankings, his fantasy basketball tools. So as a site, we succeed, and I believe that you should come join the family. For anything, my favorite part, the Discord servers, the Discord chats. That comes with any aspect of premium that you get, DFS pass, wager pass, fantasy pass, or HoopBall 360. Obviously, you'll get all of it. So not here to try to sell you a bunch of stuff, just tell you how much that we would love to have you join. Because then we get to grow. You use those promo codes, we get to grow. And then if we get to grow, that means that we get to give more. It grows the amount that we can give. And we are all about giving. So that is something you need to know about HoopBall. I'm going to have two guests today. I can't say guests because they're, you know, family. They're part of the HoopBall team. They are HoopBall. Like, you know, it's not someone at an outside entity. These two guys, day in, day out, to be honest, probably do more for HoopBall than I do. These guys are always, I mean, y'all are active. You know, I record the show, I guess. For some reason, since you record the show, you know, you get, I don't know what I'm trying to say. You get magnified with your responsibilities or whatever, what people think that you do. Nonetheless, Troy Markowski, Blake Lawatch. You guys got some northerner sounding names. I'll tell you that.
Northern.
Troy, Blake, how y'all doing today, guys? I'm glad. Hey, this is the first show we've been able to do together, but we've been on the HoopBall roster for quite some time together now, all three of us overlaying with each other. So welcome into the fiesta.
Let's go.
Yeah, man. But to be here, we were on a podcast on the same day together when you did the March Madness day.
True, true. Very true.
But we were not together.
Yeah, that was a crazy day. I kind of would like some more of that.
I miss it.
It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. It's crazy how quickly March Madness seems to go. Or sports in general. I mean, we're already, you know, I'd say a quarter of the way through the baseball season. And basketball, we're going to be getting into some playoff scenarios here. The Kings were just eliminated.
Playoffs.
Talking about playoffs? We can't even win a game.
I'm excited.
Yeah. There's some great series that are going to be first and second round matchups. Could you imagine a Suns-Lakers first round series?
Oh, Lakers in four?
It would be just like – well, I wouldn't say just like, but you remember those Lakers-Suns series in the early 2000s that just happened like every year when the Lakers were Steve treading Matt, water?
Versus Kobe.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Leandro Barbosa, Steve Nash getting punched in the nose.
Fun fact, only two teams have clinched a seed right now. So there is plenty to shake out in the last couple
Holy
of days.
Crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's not that much separating the play-in stratosphere either. Like there's like five different teams in the West that could easily be cycled in through there.
Do we like the way the play-in's playing out so far this year? I think we've gotten lucky this first year with the teams that are kind of vying for those spots.
Yeah. You know, I like a traditional 1-8. I'm, you know, that's just how I am. Like, you know, it's how they did it. And I probably can't say the ABA, but, you know, early bowels of NBA, you know, 1960s, you know, the playoff formats changed, sure, throughout the year with the addition of teams and conference realignment, blah, blah, blah. But as far as my adult life, children's, my child life, my existence, the playoff format's been pretty much the same. So I don't think I like the play-in game, but I'm not sure.
I personally love it. I think it's great because the last 2 weeks of NBA are hard enough to cap, when especially when people don't care. But now you're forcing teams to actually care. Like, when's the last time people cared about an NBA game in the last week of NBA? They don't. Most of the time your seeding's locked in or you're fighting between the 7 and 8. Now there's two additional teams per conference that can make some noise. And I like that personally. It's not going to be as entertaining every year. Like right now you have Warriors Lakers in the 7-8 and you know, Celtics Hornets in the 7-8 in the East. It's not always going to be, you know, entertaining teams like that, but I like it. I think it's a great addition.
Yeah, I think we've gotten lucky this year, and it's only going to take one team to make a run to the, you know, the quote unquote Final Four or whatever for it to stick around.
Yeah. And, you know, look at the the way I look at it is you look at the teams that are involved. Like right now we're talking about the Warriors and the Lakers. So you're telling me I got to pick to not have one of those teams in the Western Conference playoffs when I want both, you know? So I guess I'm just greedy.
And the NBA wants both as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The Grizzlies are still alive, aren't they?
Grizzlies and Warriors are both tied in record, 37-33. Yeah. I don't know who has the tiebreaker. But right now, those two pretty much going to be fighting for the 8. Spurs are in the 10 seed. They're 4 games back.
Yeah. I mean, that's just one good week.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, a few good days, depending on scheduling.
I was about to say Sunday is the last day this upcoming.
Oh, yeah.
And this is it.
Wow. Man, that is crazy.
Yeah, play-in starts next Monday. That's what I'm saying. People, they actually care. We got to really pay attention to the injury report. You should always pay attention to the injury report when you're betting. But, I mean, normally NBA the last couple of weeks are kind of a stay away type deal. But now it's like, let's find some value. Let's find the teams that care.
Do you, Troy, take this? No, I'm kidding. Troy, do you, when a team is eliminated from postseason contention, do you automatically rule them out of any wagers that you'll be placing for the remainder of the NBA season, regular season?
No. I mean, I always look at, like, obviously per line basis, it always varies on who's playing who, but teams, you know, some men like to watch the world burn. You could have a team like the Kings got eliminated last night, and then they'll rifle off a couple wins this weekend just to mess with the seeding. So
yeah,
just because people are eliminated, there's still that factor of, well, we're eliminated, but let's try and mess up someone's weekend. Let's try and mess up someone's playoff run.
Yeah. Especially if it's a divisional foe or someone within your division, you know, that you competed with all year, and now that they're getting a chance at the playoffs and you're not, you're going to be a little salty. Try to knock them off. So I honestly am just ready for playoff basketball. It's one of my favorite things.
It is my favorite thing.
Yeah. I mean, we know that some team members here are bigger on NBA than others. You know, I begin the NBA year super fanaticized. And then once college ball starts, it's like, oh, hell no. Like, sorry, NBA. Like,
yeah, it's so hard to do both.
It is.
So time consuming.
But at the beginning of the NBA season with the wager pass stuff, you know, I was like, sure, it was small volume play. But, like, I was hitting on a lot of stuff. And, you know, I was like, man, I just need to stick with the NBA all year. But it's just so hard, especially with my heart that I have for college sports, the love. It's just so hard not to pay attention to college hoops, especially with the early season tournaments and the prospects. And, you know, I love NBA, but I love it so much for the first month and a half and then playoff basketball. And I'm starting to learn that more and more about myself as I get older.
Do you find the same thing with football?
Yeah,
it's a little easier, absolutely, though, because they're on separate days, though, at least.
It is. But for me, when I'm looking at and watching college football, it's so much more appealing and enticing to my needs and what I like. Maybe because I grew up more in it, you know, Oklahoma not having professional teams, and we had two decent colleges all of my childhood, you know, with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. You know, I think the NBA keeps my attention a little more just because from one professional league to the next, I think I prefer the NBA or NFL over the NBA in the current state of each league. The NBA, with what they're doing with the African Rwanda League, I think we're about to see another platform and tier of NBA exposure. And I very much so feel like we're close to another expansion team. So that will definitely pique my interest more so away from the NFL.
Got to get a team back in Seattle.
We have to.
Yeah, but do you think
Seattle and Vancouver, boom, there's your two teams. There's your two expansion teams.
Do you think teams in Seattle and Portland is a good thing for the NBA, though?
I mean, it was in the 90s.
A little Pacific Northwest rivalry going on there.
Yeah.
What's not wrong with that?
No, I love it. I'm in the Northwest.
Yeah, yeah. I have always just loved the Supersonics. And then, of course, being an Oklahoman, we have that weird tie to the franchise. You know, it was a franchise that I kept a heavy eye on. Like, I remember watching VHS highlight tapes of Sean Kemp and Gary the Glove. Like, those goofy 90s bad music, just hip-hop, parachute pants, all sorts of the 90s stuff. I remember watching those as a kid, just really loving the, you know, George Carl stuff. You know, once I found out he started, you know, pretty much there as a head coach and his successes. So it's just a weird tie that I have to the Supersonics, or to, you know, I just think basketball belongs in Seattle. I mean, look at Gonzaga. Where are they? Just outside of Seattle. I mean, Spokane, it's probably what, like an hour, I think, but
it's a couple.
So, I mean, I think Pacific Northwest basketball is good stuff.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I agree. You're good. I'm with
you.
And it's not that hard to pick a place or two to have an expansion team come in at. So we are going to talk some current stuff and current news today at some point, I promise. But I think there's just some things to be had and things to be said in regards to just general sports paraphernalia at the moment and happenings. You know, talking, seeding, and the rounding out of that, you know, very important. We've got a heavy gamut of baseball today. You know, series are going to be getting started for teams going into the weekend. We've got a decent card of NBA. And we've just got, you know, I think we're going to have some other good, fun stuff to just kind of chit-chat about within this show. Blake, real quick, I want to throw something out at you in regards to baseball. Now, Troy is a hoops man purely for the most part. You know, you do get down on NFL. You love your Ohio Bobcats and on the football field, Troy. But I know you don't do the heavy, deep scrubs into baseball like Blake and I do. So to accommodate everyone within this show, because there's three of us today, you know, that's, you know, and backtrack a lot here. Got to rewind because I'm a terrible host and I'm used to solo showing it, and got to give out the Twitter handles for my guys. Blake is easy. His is at Blake Lawatch, L-A-W-A-T-C-H, and then Troy, at, I'm gonna let you handle yours
at Dwayne underscore the Rock J.
Yes, I can never remember if it's a hyphen, if it's an underscore. I know it's Dwayne something, and then the right. I just need to like keep a sticky note on my computer in honor of Troy and his Twitter handle.
Why is that hard for you to memorize?
You know, you got me there, Blake.
I think it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Hot take central over at Dwayne the Rock J.
Yeah. And we, man, our, like I said, our team's growing and it's good to be able to get a couple guys on a show. Just get some different banter and different takes and all that hot stuff going. A triumvirate is always fun. But, Blake, I wanted to talk to you about just a couple of quick baseball takes. I know you've already got a couple plays loaded. Trying to remember what I was going to ask you specifically, but how about you give us a rundown on a play that you're going to be eyeballing for this evening?
How about your Royals?
That's the okay.
Your beloved Royals.
I thought it was the Royals and the White Sox that you had to play on, and that's the game I was going to introduce, but just couldn't remember. Yeah, they're terrible right now. I think they've lost 11 in a row.
Yes, they have lost 11 in a row.
Hunter Dozier is a terrible baseball player, according to his last 30 at bats.
All of a sudden, he's a terrible baseball player. Yes. He was a fantasy game changer a couple of years ago, though.
Yeah, he was. I just realized who's starting for the White Sox here, and that's Michael Kopech.
They got a doubleheader. That's the second game.
Oh, that's the second game.
First game is Keller versus Giolito.
Giolito. I was going to say, I could have swore I just saw Giolito.
Yep.
Sorry. Brain's a little clouded from all that Benadryl from yesterday. it was just, man, I'm over here like a waterlogged cat right now.
Got
liquid in my ear. Can't hear nothing. Pollen. Okay, anyways. Kansas City. Chicago White Sox. All right, so you like the White Sox side or no?
I do, but not enough to make a play on it.
Mm-hmm.
What I actually did was took the under.
Under 6.5?
Where under 6, minus 110. And it's a doubleheader, so, you know, they're playing 7 innings. This one, I did like the White Sox to win. The Royals are so much better against left-handed pitching. Like, record-breaking stuff, how many games they've won in the past 2 years, I think it was. And I got this from another podcast. I did not research this myself. But in the past 2 years, they've lost one game against a left-hander.
The White Sox.
The White Sox.
Yeah.
So that's freaking nuts. But they're going up against Brad Keller, who is right-hander, but he's also bad. So I do like the White Sox to win. Yeah, he's terrible.
He's got a 7.31 ERA. I bet his peripherals are even higher.
They
Brad
are.
Keller had a... He started the season after his first two games. I think he had like a 40 ERA. So
after his first game, he had a 40.5.
Yeah, he's got some deflation to do.
Yeah.
My thing is, like, I would love to take the under in this. The White Sox, they're scoring a lot of runs right now.
They are.
They are scoring a ton. And I don't believe in Brad Keller, but I also don't believe in the Royals offense right now. So I would definitely entertain an under, maybe if it was a more traditional game. You know how I feel about these. I stay so far away from these new 7-inning doubleheaders.
I kind of like them. They're enticing.
They are.
Just because the longer a game is, the more variables there are and the more things can get messed up.
Very true. You know, if anything, maybe, and I'm just, this is me spitballing. Maybe if you look at like teams that are very successful in the first 5 innings as offenses, maybe those are the teams that you could target in like first or some of these doubleheaders. Cause you know, we get those first 5 innings of what we know and what we've seen and that data. And then we can just kind of worry about the rest in the last like inning and a half or two. See just kind of how teams in the first 5 innings fare in a glaring scope, and then maybe correlate that over into these 7-inning double headers.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense for me.
I'm honestly going to have very few opinions on tonight's card, just for the simple fact that there's 3 of us today. I'm trying not to cough down the microphone every time I talk right now, so I'm going to be doing less talking. That was the goal of having you and Troy on today. I'm still talking a lot because I'm just doing that whole thing where the person's like, I'm talking a lot. I'm still talking. I'm still talking. Mm-hmm. And I'm still doing it. So, but Boston and Los Angeles is a game that obviously I need to make an opinion on because I'm picking the Royals and the Red Sox for the season here in regards to trying to make 162 total plays. 5-0 Nick Pivetta on the mound, 3.19 ERA against Griffin Canning. Boston's bats right now, man. They're covering totals by themselves. They're getting on base. They're healthy. They got Christian Arroyo again. They got Vasquez back. Franchi Cordero is contributing. Bobby Dalback. Bobby Dalback had a great game last night. He's starting to step up as a top prospect. You got freaking JD Martinez. You got Devers. You got Bogerts. this lineup is just loaded. So I'm looking to go over 5 on their team total against Griffin Canning today, who does have a 5.19 ERA himself. His peripherals are just as bad. Over 9.5, because I think I could definitely see the Red Sox scoring 7 to 8 runs themselves alone. Nick Pivetta has been really dang good, 5-0 on the year. Not sure what his peripherals are, what percentiles he's in as far as his stuff right now, but I know that he's having a lot of success for the gamut of the season so far. Red Sox tore up Sean Manaea, who's been just lights out as a pitcher for the A's the last couple weeks. Scored like 8 runs off of him. And like I said, this Red Sox lineup, torrent right now. They are just torching it with runs. So it's going to be hard not to back anything but overs.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you there. I think Nick Pivetta, I think, is so close to losing it.
That's my fear.
Yeah, he's not this good of a pitcher.
I mean, I guess it wouldn't be a fear for this play because I'm going on overs. But that was actually a part of my thinking with the full, because 9.5, you know, 9.5 is a lot for me. But
that's a lot of runs.
With how many the Red Sox have been scoring their last, man, I wish I had it in front of me, and I'm too lazy to dig it up right now. But I know that they have been averaging pretty much double digits over their last, They had some I forgot about those first two games in the A series were low scoring games, but they, like I said, scored 8 runs last night before this little stretch with the A's and the not potent Orioles offense that they played. The Red Sox have been involved in some heavy, heavy scoring games. And then the Angels, just for the fact of the matter, is they have a terrible bullpen, and it's so easy to bet overs blindly in their games.
Yeah, I agree. Especially if they're going up against, or the Red Sox going up against righty and Griffin Canning. They just got a couple guys who just crush righties.
Yeah, they're big three. I could see having lots of good success tonight. Throw one more or two more games out, or just do one more. We'll kind of just briefly talk about it, see what your opinion on it is. And we can move on into some cross-threaded, you know, like NBA action, other current happenings and all that good stuff. So I feel bad. I just kind of took Troy out the game. I mean, I'm looking at my six-man star, and I want to get him back in the game, you know? I need my Jamal Crawford out there. I haven't forgotten about you, Troy. I promise.
Oh, I know. Hey, listen, you got to know your limits. You got to be honest with yourself. I don't know anything about baseball, and I'm not going to pretend I do know anything about baseball. And that's why I get all my baseball info from the Discord.
I mean, that works. That is
that's what it's there for.
Look at that nice little self-internal promo stitch there. Good work, Troy. The Cincinnati-Colorado game is interesting because Wade Miley coming off that – he threw that no-hitter, right? Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So here we go. We got to fade the pitcher coming off a no-hitter theory that I think I'm the only one that uses.
Nope, you don't. You're not.
I'm not? Okay.
Absolutely not.
I wasn't trying to say that as in like I'm a cool guy. I was trying to say
that. No, I'm there with you. That's what I'm saying.
It's not important stuff. But I've just noticed such a glaring discrepancy on it. You know, it's just for the last couple of years, it's something that I've kept a baseball eye on just out of curiosity. And it is obvious.
Well,
it's very obvious.
They're human beings. It's absolutely in their head. If they get that first out, you know, that's the first thing they're thinking about.
Is another.
Yeah, you ever go bowling and get a strike in the first inning? What's your first thought? You know?
Like, I'm going to shoot a 300.
Or, I mean, in the first frame is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You absolutely. That's 300. Your absolute first thought is this is it.
Yeah. 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 Or even after shooting a 300 or a perfect game, it's like the second game is usually, you know, just for example, I don't care. Or I don't know if anyone cares, but in high school at a tournament, a teammate of mine, we were bowling some other schools in Wichita. He shot a 300, second game, came back and shot like a 160, 170. I still beat him on the series total, but he shot a perfect game. I got to give him that. So I look at p- pitchers coming off no hitters a little of the same or a lot of the same. And, you know, Colorado's actually scoring runs now. They're scoring more than three runs. And so I'm definitely wanting to look at a team total, but 5.5 is a lot for Colorado, even in Colorado. And this Wade Miley guy, you know, what if he does have another? Okay, so John Means, he's the exception. His last start was phenomenal. He almost went a complete game again, and that was the game after his no-hitter. So, but yeah. I think Wade Miley's not as good of a pitcher.
As John Means. You know, Wade Miley's having a fantastic year. Not a one-off game. He's going to keep it going.
I say that Wade Miley probably wins like 11 or 12 games this year at least.
I agree. If the Reds can keep supporting him.
Yeah. He's got a 2.0 ERA.
Yeah, it's nuts. And it's mostly deserved. He's not allowing hard hits.
I think you got to look at the over in this one. Because fading Wade Miley coming off the no-hitter. Marquez has been terrible at home. He's been terrible in general.
Yeah.
But he's even worse at home. 5-mile-per-hour wind coming in, so nothing crazy. But if I would be making a play on this one, it would be the over just to do the whole Rockies Coors Field thing.
Yeah, you know, the Reds just don't score any runs on the road at all.
They're
such a two-faced team.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Now you say that, but their over-under record on the road is 11-6-1.
That's weird.
Maybe their pitching's been
equally awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of technology they have at home that their offense is so good at home.
Trash cans.
It makes you wonder. That's their technology, is trash cans.
Yeah. Hard plastic. All righty. I think that can do it for baseball stuff. That was like some of the bigger. I mean, there's Sandy Alcantara pitching against Kershaw tonight. It'll be a really good matchup. I would recommend watching that one.
Yeah, I want to keep an eye on Glasnow too.
Glasnow,
he's just
Savali
going through a little bump right now, and I'm wondering when he's going to get out of it.
Yeah, and he's actually got a pretty rough matchup today against the Mets, who are starting to get a little hot, which is a weird way to say something about the Mets.
To say they're becoming average.
Yeah, they're getting like they're one of their nostrils is starting to get to baseline, like
all right, water level.
But you know, that could change very, very quickly. There was bear with me here. I'm just kind of scatterbrained through the card. Milwaukee's going against Drew Smyly. Might look at a Milwaukee team total over there just because Smyly is terrible. Milwaukee at 4 runs for their team total, -115. I like that a lot, actually. Hey, how did Gilbert's debut go last night? I am terrible and did not watch a lick of it because I was miserable and covered in Benadryl and like sneezes and coughing.
That's nice. It went good. I did not watch it either because I am blacked out because the MLB is stupid.
Oh, I thought you meant like you got – I was like, dang, Blake, party.
No, I did not get blacked. I did have 2 spiked Arnold Palmers, but I did not get blacked out. No, the MLB blacks me out because they're dumb.
Yeah.
But box score watching, he did pretty good. He did good. 4 innings, 4 earned runs.
4 innings, 4 earned. Okay.
Yeah.
I figured it would be pretty even, like par, you know. I didn't think that Seattle was going to have him do too much. But Kalenic, did he do anything last night?
No, they were getting no hit. I think there's 6
innings.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah. Yeah, please act. Uh-huh.
Yeah, please act.
Yeah.
No, Kalenic went he went 0-for-4.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard Gilbert was just leaving in the middle of the strike zone the whole night, which is not his thing.
Right.
You know, he's known as the guy who can paint the corners, and I guess he just wasn't doing that last night.
True. True. At least he was throwing strikes.
Yep. I agree.
Some really good prospects for you guys. And then you got another 2 on the way.
Yeah, a handful of them. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you guys are at that tipping point, like where the Blue Jays were, where they were like, bleep it. We're bringing everyone up. And
yeah,
then they started having pretty much instant success.
Yeah, see if it happens here. I thought the Mariners were going to have success, you know what, 8 years ago when they brought up Felix and Dustin Ackley and all those guys.
Ooh, Dustin Ackley.
And they did nothing. I'm afraid that's going to happen again.
Maybe. But these, I feel like these guys are a lot more polarizing.
Yeah, these guys are good.
A lot more true, less rawness, you know? Yeah. Random tidbit here, and then we can move on. But this is for everyone. Trivia time. Do you know what pitcher holds the all-time MLB record for strikeout to walk ratio for a full season?
Strikeout to walk ratio for full season. When did he play?
The record was set in 2014.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The only reason I bring this up is because Corbin Burns has a chance to do something absolutely phenomenal this year.
Oh, I'd heard about that. Yeah, I've heard about that. And I do know the name. It's because I saw this. I can't think of it, though. I want to say like DeGrom, but I don't think it was.
Well, he did pitch for New York.
Syndergaard?
No.
Matt Harvey?
Phil Hughes.
Phil Hughes.
Phil Hughes.
Oh, he pitched for New York and also everybody else.
Yes. Phil Hughes. I heard that on a, I think it was the MLB round trip on the Sirius channel, like at the end of the night when they're recapping all the games. They were talking about Corbin Burns' stuff, and they brought that up. And I was like, Phil freaking Hughes. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah.
And of course he would own that record.
Yeah, I heard Corbin Burns has only walked like two guys or something.
Yeah.
He struck out 50-something.
He went 56 strikeouts to begin the season without issuing a walk.
That's so, so crazy.
That was the longest. He hit 52 was the longest. And then in that same game, you know, he went four more or whatever. And then at 56 is when he issued a walk. So
set the record,
broke the record. And watch, now he's going to start walking 10 batters per game or something, and we're not going to get history.
Was Phil Hughes the guy that, in the All-Star game, he, like, booked it from the bullpen?
Yeah.
Was that him?
Everyone was like, chill, bro.
Okay. Like,
come on. What was his only All-Star game?
Yeah, and he made it count.
Fact check that. Anyways. All right, let's talk some hardwood. I'm going to switch it up, transition over to basketball now. We got some really decent MLB tangents there, some throwbacks. Troy,
yes.
Your NBA takes for tonight with all of these, oh my gosh, I don't even know if you call them injuries. Are they injuries? Like with all the inactivities?
Yeah, the whole season has just been injury riddled, you know, shortened off season, truncated season, a lot of back-to-backs. Weekend series. The injury report's been filled the entire season. So at this point, it's just a part of the game.
There's so I mean, Norm, for you, probably a little more higher volatility towards the end of the season here. But with the Warriors being down so many guys right now, or their tags being questionable, looks like Lonzo's out for the Pelicans, Ingram and Adams questionable for the for New Orleans also. But I noticed that this was at 6.5. Now it's at 1. Golden State minus 1. I shouldn't say doubt, but I don't know if you have an opinion on this game, and I'm putting you definitely on the spot, but I was scrolling through the card and looking at some movements and all that, and that definitely caught my eye. Do you have anything to say on this game? Are you looking to back one team or the next?
So when you look at it with the Pelicans have probably been the team that's underachieved the most this season. You know, they got good players with Zion. Steven Adams was brought in. Stan Van Gundy's a great coach. I love Stan Van Gundy, but I think the game may have moved past him.
Yeah.
And that happens. You know what I'm saying? Father Time's undefeated. So the Pelicans also, I think, have blown 10 double-digit leads or something.
I was just about to bring that up, but I wanted didn't want to steal much of your thunder.
Yeah, so they're just not good. And like I said, Zion's out with his injury. Lonzo's questionable. Steven Adams questionable. Josh Hart's out. Brandon Ingram's questionable. So pretty much all their offense is questionable. But then the Warriors, same thing. Draymond, Steph, Michael Mulder, all questionable. Andrew Wiggins, questionable. So it's a matter of do we think the Warriors play everyone to try and help in that fight for play-in position, or do they take this as a rest day going into the weekend so that they can clinch their last game? So I personally, it's a stay-away game, but if I was going to back anyone, it would be the Warriors. But with the line swinging from 6 to 1, that's concerning. That's something where it's just – that's pretty much what solidified me staying away. You know, if I knew Steph was playing, then, yeah, I'd probably go way more confident. But we've had so many last-minute scratches. He's questionable. I still think the Warriors will win, sure, but you never know. It's just when everyone's questionable, it's really hard to cap.
Exactly.
But I would back the Warriors, but like I said, that big swing kind of makes me back off a little bit. What really looks good would be a first half play. Golden State Warriors first half. They're just the spread's just half a point for the Warriors at -105 odds. So that would be what I would play. But then again, the Warriors are notorious for kind of slow starts, blowing up in the third. You could probably look at some quarter action on that, but yeah, Warriors Pelicans is one of those games where it's just like stay away from it. There's really two games that I feel comfortable laying some action on tonight.
Yeah, I was looking through the card and there is just a bunch of for example, we got Utah trying to lock down a one seed, and then Oklahoma City trying to lock down a number one pick, and then you got Philly and Orlando, Denver, Detroit. Sacramento was just ruled out. Memphis still looking to try to get in that playoff spot. Clippers, Houston, Toronto with like zero people. Us three could probably head down to Dallas and ask the Raptors, like, y'all need three bodies? And they'd probably be like, yeah.
I got six fouls I can give, coach.
Yeah. Hey, I'll make them hard too. Like, I'll make sure they count. So, yeah, I'm interested to hear where you're looking to play. You know, honestly, the most even matchup of the night is probably Cleveland and Washington. But
that's that's the perfect transition because that is one of the plays I have tonight.
Good. All right.
I'm actually rolling with the Washington -9. And the reason being, Washington, I believe, like we said, yeah, they're the 10th seed right now, one game back from the Pacers. The Cavs have already been eliminated. The Cavs are also terrible. I don't know if you've watched much Cleveland basketball this year, but they're just downright bad. And on top of that, Kevin Love's out. Larry Nance is out. Darius Garland's questionable. Chetty Osman's questionable. Everyone's either out or questionable for the Cavs. And then for the Wizards, you obviously have Bradley Beal out. But other than that, they're still at full strength. They're still trying to make some noise and get into a better play-in position than 10. Because you definitely don't want to be the 10 seed going into play-in. That you have the most work to do, and that'll just land you an 8 seed anyway. So I actually like the Wizards to cover on this one.
Hoop ballers. Let's talk about your balls. Yep, your balls and the area around them. Let's talk about Manscaped.com. Go there and use promo code HOOPBALL20, HOOPBALL20. Use the promo code and go check out all the tools they have of trimming the hedges and taking care of your lawn, like the Lawnmower 3.0 with a built-in LED light to help you get into those dark thigh crevices on the inner parts. Also, the Gooch. It is hard to get to the Gooch if you can't see it. So use the LED light with the anti-tugless technology on the razor. Full, long battery life. Then check out the Weed Whacker. Bring that out of the shed. Use it on your shrubs. Cut down what you need, down to bare minimum if you need to. It's got a nice anti-tugless technology just like the Lawnmower 3.0. It's also got a lithium battery. And best news of all, these things are waterproof. So that way you can do it in the shower and take care of business in the cleanest way possible. Hoopball 20 is the promo code that's going to get you free shipping as well as 20% off. I recommend using it. I recommend getting the complete care kit with your free shipping and your 20% off. Spend a little extra, get a lot more. There's a good care kit there for us gentlemen, face scrub, shampoo, ball treatment, and the area that surrounds our balls. I believe there's even a pair of underwear in there for our balls. So yeah, that's going to conclude the talk about our balls. Now let's talk about bets. MyBookie.ag is where all the hoop ballers take care of their winnings and where we place all of our wagers that we post in our article in the Wager Pass, as well as our free plays and our Discord chats. Yes, MyBookie.ag. Use promo code HOOPBALL, HOOPBALL. Let them know that we sent you. Hell, specifically type in my name. I want them to know. But most importantly, you got to let them know what podcast that is. And it is Today in Sports Betting. You let them know that we sent you. And then we, as a family, get to grow. And then we get to set you up to reap more benefits. And that is what's important to us because we are here to help you win money. And that is why we recommend MyBookie. Their slogan is bet, win, get paid. And it's quite simply that easy. Use Bitcoin to get going. It's a high recommendation of VM Center at Vince Miracle, our guy. It's a recommendation of me. It's so easy. Dan Bespris, the podfather, Aaron Bruski, the godfather, they get in there, they get going with Bitcoin, they get their money in and out, and it's easy peasy. Hoopball's the promo code. Use that. Let them know that we sent you. MyBookie.ag. Bet, win, get paid. Now, as a podcast, we have your balls and your bets covered. And without further ado, we have Today in Sports Betting.
Russell
Westbrook's doing some incredible stuff this year.
I love it. I love Russell Westbrook. Anyone who doesn't love Russell Westbrook, get out of my face.
Yeah.
Man is Mr. Triple-Double.
I love how nobody liked Westbrook until he broke that record. And then all of a sudden, everybody on Twitter loves him.
Yeah. I feel like I'm talking about me being from Oklahoma a crap ton, but like he was the first actual Oklahoma City Thunder's draft pick. So really cool to see him go from that UCLA team that I was watching very strongly in March as a preteen or teenager, something like that. Can't remember how old I was. And then him, this polarizing point guard that I was just watching in the tournament, getting drafted to become the first pick for, you know, the Thunder as a franchise. So very, very polarizing player, obviously. His opinions and such, you know, people have opinions on those. And he is a little abrasive, but he's a generational talent, and we need to appreciate that. And, you know, like I've said it before, Magic Johnson was a little abrasive also. But look at what we got to watch as his efforts came out on the court.
Have you ever seen anyone give maximum effort all 82 games of the season, all 48 minutes of the game? Like, I haven't, except for Russell Westbrook. The man never turns it off, which is a testament to his stamina, I think, more than anything, and his athleticism.
Absolutely. And the way he just keeps himself prepared and ready to go mentally and physically.
Yeah, he's always fired up. It's crazy.
Every play throughout a game, you know, you say the whole 82, but I mean the whole, you know, every minute within the game itself. So, well, how many, it's 12 minute quarter, so 48 minutes.
Yeah. All 48 minutes he's going as hard as possible.
I was gonna say 40, but I was like, wait, that's college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I just always have college on the brain. Like I just can't help it. It's ingrained in me. How about a shout out to, I want to talk about this Hoopball Grizz team that we got, because they just had freaking Brevin Knight, which to casual newer NBA fans, like they're like, okay.
They're like, who's Brevin Knight?
Who is Brevin Knight? Brandon Knight? No. Brevin Knight. So Brevin Knight was what? He's a 5'7", 5', he was short, but he was.
Played in the NBA, man.
Yeah, he was an NBA player for a long time, a veteran presence.
If you're
he was a NBA. Part of the Bobcat teams with Adam Morrison, played with the Grizz. But what, so Brevin Knight, I don't know if y'all remember the game or not and if you played it, but do you remember NBA Street?
Do I remember NBA Street? Come on
Do you remember NBA Street V3?
I do.
So you remember how you used to unlock the players after the challenges to upgrade your team? Brevin Knight was one of them. And I was like, this guy's actually really fun to use on the game. I've never heard the name Brevin. And so from fifth grade on, I just knew who Brevin Knight was. And the fact that I randomly saw that our Hootball Grizz team got him on the podcast, I was like, wait, what the hell? Because I haven't thought of Brevin Knight in probably a couple years. But, and then to boast here, like I retweeted the Hootball Grizz stuff, and then freaking Brevin Knight liked and commented my retweet. And I was just kind of like fangirling it out a little bit. It was just a great grab by our Hootball team. You know, our guys over there just knocking out some great content. And the fact that we're getting ex-NBAers, you know, on the shows and such.
It's a big step. You know,
that is ridiculous. Dan was involved in that charity event with Darius Miles at the beginning of the year. So that was really neat too. So we're getting some NBA love over here at Hootball. But if you want to go check out the Hootball Grizz stuff, I'd recommend going to at Hootball Grizz and then check out our guys at DWill2111 and then at Isaac_Rivals. And if you need to know who Brevin Knight is, go to YouTube and then go to his Twitter handle at BrevinKnight22.
Kids these days don't remember NBA Street or Brevin Knight.
Come on, man. He was the best part of that game. Because I remember you would unlock him, you could unlock Yao, and they were like two of the – and then, oh, this guy, Rafer Alston. You remember Rafer Alston? Oh,
yes, dude.
They were the first three players that you got to unlock because you had to play – you played regional circuits, you know, and Brevin Knight was with the Grizz at the time. And the Grizz, you know, the Rockets, they were in that whole gauntlet and you would unlock some Rockets players and Brevin Knight. And I'm still talking about NBA Street Volume 3.
Yo, let me real quick. Let's get into this. The other game I had my eye on was the Sixers Magic. And the reason I had my eye on that, Sixers are on that back-to-back. They got completely throttled. Doc Rivers was like, yeah, it was an ass-whooping, straight up. They're on a two-game losing streak, have only scored 94 points in both those games. Joel Embiid was only held to, like, 6 points last night. So, and the last two games for the Sixers are against the Magic. So that's two gimme games for them. Right now, the full game spread is sitting at 14. And for me, that's too much. But I do kind of like the first half at 8.5 for Philly. And Joel Embiid, if you look at his props, over-under points, 25.5, it says right now, at minus 114 over here on my bookie. And I'm going to take the over on that. I don't expect Embiid to go low scoring two games in a row. Man's an MVP candidate. Now, Jokic should win the MVP, but Joel Embiid was there all year. He's been balling out, one of the most – efficient offensive seasons of all time. So he's definitely going to want to make up for that dud of a game he had last night. So that's where my eyes are at, the first half for Philly and Joel Embiid over the points.
I've been playing a lot of big underdogs the last like 4 days, just personally. Like, I haven't been putting them out on the show or talking much about them, but as of just data collection point for me, I've just kind of blindly been betting on smaller cards, not full NBA cards, but nights like tonight. I'm like, all right, let me just put like a half unit on every single underdog. I had a perfect night the other night. Underdogs are covering right now, and I think it's for reasons that you just kind of highlighted there, Troy.
Well, the underdogs all season long have been hitting at a pretty good clip. So I think that speaks to, one, how hard it's been to cap this NBA season in particular. And two, it speaks to, like I said earlier in the show, you get teams, just because people are eliminated, that doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to want to ruin someone else. Some men want to watch the world burn. And perfect example is Kings tonight playing the Grizz. Grizz are that 9 seed. And the Kings are eliminated. And it just seems like a spot where I would fade the Kings and then they come around and win by like 20. Or like Buddy Hield goes like 6 for 6 from three. So that's the kind of stuff you got to be mindful of coming here down the stretch in the last 3 days of the regular season.
Now, was that a Dark Knight reference there, by the way, Troy, subtly, that you just got in there?
No.
If not it on was, purpose?
It was accidental.
Okay. All right. I just, every time I hear that, I always think about Heath Ledger saying that in The Dark Knight. Just
Some men want to watch the world burn. Yes. Yeah. That was.
He sets the cash pile on fire.
That was a reference, you know, Alfred talking to Batman. He's like, yo.
Oh.
Some dudes just want to watch the world burn. And he's talking about the Joker. And the Kings might be in their Joker moment now. It's 15 straight years of missing the playoffs. Ties the longest streak in NBA history. So,
and I was trying to think of who that other NBA team was that they tied it with. Do either of y'all have an idea? Because I put my bet on one team.
I want to say it was the Knicks from like the early 2000s to 2013 or whatever. But
That's a good guess. I was gonna say the Timberwolves. When like starting around like the Johnny Flynn era,
yeah,
the Nikolai Pekovic days.
Okay, so I just got it pulled up here. The Phoenix Suns were the second longest 10 years. Actually, they just broke it 2011 to 2021.
Oh yeah,
and then the Knicks, who just also broke theirs, was 7 years.
Forgot about the Suns.
The Kings. 14, 15 straight seasons without the playoffs. Like, that's just abysmal.
That's just bad. Considering for folks on our age bracket, like, we grew up getting to watch some really awesome Kings basketball.
And then, and then it's just been nothing since
Doug Christie. Well, even when they had Brad Miller and, like, Tyreke Evans, you know, like, right before this drought started. Sacramento had, like, some pieces. Vlade Divac.
Wasn't it the Kings who got screwed by the refs in the playoffs versus the Lakers?
Yes.
Yeah.
And wasn't that their last playoff?
That whole sticky situation.
That was what? The Lakers shot, like, almost 50 free throws in the Game 6 or it was either Game 6 or Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and that was – I think it was Game 6. And that was their last playoff.
Yeah, that was the series ceiling game. And what, like the Kings only had like 20 free throw attempts or something like that. It was crazy. Bad.
Black eye on the NBA, which they not talk about.
Yeah. Cause I mean, what, that would have been the second of the lake that allowed them to go and potentially repeat. So that was the second of that dynasty, you know?
One other thing I got to say about the NBA. Just to hear a little tangent, I don't like how the NBA is like, we're just not going to talk about the NBA pre-1980. Like, they just act like the NBA was Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain shooting hoops and then until it was Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. And I don't like it. I understand they don't like the image of the 70s NBA, but it don't matter. I don't like how they're kind of, I don't want to say erasing history, but they just, they don't talk about it that much. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you talk about the old games and they're like, well, here's Bill Russell and here's Wilt Chamberlain and the Lakers. But it's like, there's so much more NBA history to be had. And I think it's a shame that the NBA doesn't make it more readily available for everybody.
One of the best documentaries I've watched to help me grasp comprehension of kind of the bowels and the start of the NBA was it's a 30 for 30. And it's the Lakers Celtics best of enemies.
Oh yeah, the first episode was just strictly like 50s and 60s,
you know, the start of the Minneapolis Lakers and the very, you know, start of the Celtics franchise. But what it also does outside of just basketball realm, it paints a very great historical picture and depicts truthfully the position and the climate that Boston was in as a city, racially fueled, what have you. And then the Lakers with LA. And it, so it just, like you said, it, and then there was the era in the 70s, and people don't talk about this. And my jaw was agape watching this because it was so normalized back then. You know, there were, the New York Post was putting out polls, you know, why, and in the 70s, you know, why is basketball not good or fun anymore? Like, why is it gone down? Because it almost died in the 70s. And, you know, one of the options and the most voted for option in a lot of these polls was too many blacks.
Yeah. And
I was just so just thrown aback that it was so normalized. And that was the accepted reason why the NBA was bad. And then they were connecting that to the cocaine issues, the problems with cocaine in the league. And it was just a really weird time in the 70s for the NBA.
Yeah, but cocaine was an issue in every league at that time.
Every street.
And that was an issue in every facet of life, not just sports.
I guess if you're a professional athletic association, you should be better than the rest, right?
And you should be, but you're generally actually worse.
Yeah. It was, you know, if y'all have the free time, Troy, it sounds like you've seen it, but I love it for just the historical aspect. I love learning about, you know, parts of the game that I didn't really know about. And, you know, that definitely offered me a ton of insight. On kind of who like Red Auerbach was, the guy was just, he went through severe racial prejudices also. I mean, he was Jewish. Like he was, I don't mean this, I don't know if this is the bad thing to say, or, but he was a Jew. Like he, his religion, his heritage, his upbringing, his culture, his family was from, you know, Europe. So in Boston, you know, he used to receive death threats and stuff. So like when Bill Russell was going through his whole thing and just, you know, going through the civil rights stuff, Red Auerbach shared, and this was in the documentary too, and really just a great storytelling piece. And, you know, Red, it had an excerpt of one of their conversations and Bill Russell was talking about it. And Bill Russell got advice from Red Auerbach on how to face the prejudices that he was facing in Boston. So just, I don't know. I'm still going off on this tangent, but it's just such a great basketball documentary to watch if you just want to take in something to, you know, for your knowledge sake.
And we need more of that. We need more of that stuff too, because we shouldn't have to have ESPN make 30 for 30s to learn about that stuff. One of my favorite accounts on Twitter is at Pro Hoops History. And he's been doing this piece lately where it's the forgotten finals MVPs, because they didn't give finals MVP until like the mid 60s. It was the early 70s with Jerry West was the first one. So, he might have been 1969 he won it. But either way, so he's been doing a thing where like the early 50s through the 60s, who should have won finals MVP based on the data that we have. And it's stuff like that I love as just a, you know, student of the game, fan of the game.
Well, just
that's really cool
to see the beginning of all of it. The evolution of the game, you know, just the, what it took. Like these folks back in the 50s and the 60s were still professional athletes, you know, as white collar, blue collar, whatever collar people, you know, it's no different than what our current, our current civilization is not the right one, but our peoples, our populace is, you know, is very synonymous. It's very mirroring. History repeats itself. So Blake, to bring you back in, you know, cause I got my starting center on the bench and I need to get him back in the game. The history of baseball too. There's a lot of different podcasts out there. And, you know, this was something I've been diving into also, because just the bowels of the games that we love are very interesting, especially when you're looking at specifically for baseball, it's so old, but yet just the other day, we had something that hasn't happened in 150 years plus happen. And it's those gifts that we get from baseball pretty frequently. And we forget about the little stuff. You know, I was like, wow, strikeout to walk ratios in the 30s or whatever, you know, just random stuff like that. Do you have a era or a point in baseball that you tend to gravitize?
Yeah, I actually love baseball history. I've read a handful of books on it, and I've watched a Ken Burns documentary multiple times.
I need to watch that. You said Ken Burns documentary?
Yeah, MLB runs it like the entire offseason, the MLB channel. I think baseball and NBA need to come together and split the difference, because MLB, they grasp onto history so much that they don't change anything.
Yeah.
You know, DH should have been universal 10 years ago. You know, NBA, when did they add a three-point line? Like,
that was 30
years ago?
Yeah, in the 70s, early 80s.
Okay, I thought it was the 80s, yeah. You know, baseball would never do something like that. But look how it's transformed the NBA. The NBA would be nothing without the three-point line.
Yeah.
You know, Larry, baseball would never do that because they hold on to history too much.
I don't like changing the game egregiously. You know, apparently pitching's too good now, so they want to move the mound back. I don't think you do that because, A, it's geometry. Like, there's this, sacred energy within a baseball diamond. And it's been the same size since the 1870s.
Mm-hmm.
So you're literally reconstructing the core and the, you know, the feng shui, if you will, of this historical game. Like, to me, if you do that, you're literally readjusting, like, baseball souls.
and that's almost the problem, is we care so much about baseball history, but then you go to the NBA, and then they don't give a crap about it.
Yeah.
And so they need to come together and split the difference.
To learn how to do, like, a balance.
Yeah, how to make change that makes sense. But respecting history still.
Like, robotic strike zone, get that shit out of here. No, sir. Like, let's, that is a part of baseball. The human error, the ump, the blue. Like, that is baseball.
Do you see that Mookie Betts strikeout the other night?
No.
It was like 2 inches inside or outside, I believe it was. And then I saw Dan tweeting about bringing the robotic umps immediately.
If you bring in robotic strike zones, you're going to get robotic players.
Yeah. You know, I was on your side, and I'm starting to move to the other side.
I
understand. I'm not for it, but I would be accepting of it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we don't have robots telling us if the three-pointer was good or not. I don't know. I don't know what
you're trying to,
yeah. I don't know what point I'm trying to make.
We got cameras that tell you immediately.
Yeah. I want some changes to be done to baseball. Those two are very egregious in my opinion.
I think it's just the mentality around baseball needs to change. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
There, what game was it the other day? There was somebody was winning like 13-0, and the team that was losing tried bunting in like the seventh inning, and everyone threw a fit about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, why not? Why not bunt? Like, you're still competing. You're still trying to win. If you think that helps you win, even though it probably doesn't because bunting is stupid,
maybe why the hell not? Has to lay 10 bunts down to get a bonus.
Yeah, maybe. But some, like, super bullshit rule about baseball's unwritten laws that you don't do that because history tells you not, whatever the hell.
Yeah. I think that's some of the unwritten rules need to be kind of just like forgotten about. Like,
but when we have those.
Vlad Guerrero hit that, or no, Tatis hit that grant, and everyone was just looking at him.
Yeah, everyone made him apologize.
Like, even his own dugout, like, turned their back on him.
Yeah, but we have those unwritten rules because the stupid history that we can't let go of.
Yeah. I think with unwritten rules, they need to kind of be a little more fluid from era to era. Like, keep the same respect baseline, but people change. Things become more or less tolerable. Perspectives change. So,
yeah, but is there anything in the NFL where, like, if you're down by 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, you can't run some kind of bootleg play? Like, no, of course not.
I mean, it's Bush League. There's been coaches that have gone after other coaches or not shaking hands at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Because college football more so too. But
I think those are quote unquote kids.
Yeah. 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 But we can make revenue off of them. That's for sure. Well, we did tangentize a little there, guys. But
you got me all worked up now.
Yeah, I know. I need to do a whole nother like podcast just talking about robotic strike zones and history.
That'd be sick.
Guys, are y'all ready to wrap this one up?
Let's do it.
Yeah, man.
Do it to it. All right. Well, it was fun. It was the first time that we were able to get all of us together. I hope that it continues. I know Vince is back in the fold, so we got a good core of guys here with a great amount of content and in-depth opinions. And then also, you know, like you got on today's show, like we talk about pretty much everything, old video games, old teams, you know, we're looking to see what y'all think of the content. So 5-star reviews can generate you some cash, no strings attached, FWB, remember, friends with bets. And, you know, if this was a Tinder profile for this, you know, thing I'm about to tell you about, like it would be the perfect thing that you were looking for. No NSA, FWB. And so pretty much you give us a 5-star review and, or we earn one, I guess. I don't know how you say or look at it. We earn one. You tell us a little this, that, and the third about us. And you send a screenshot to any of us three here, you know, on the show or at Hoopball Gaming team at hoop-ball.com. If you want to email it, if you're old school, I don't think we have a fax number though. Do that. Check us out individually. Make sure to get in on the free stuff. Like I said, at the beginning of the show, going to get a chance to win some cash if you send those 5-star reviews. So, and then we get to grow and then we get to give more and do more. And that's just kind of the way it goes, I guess. That's what someone said one time. So Blake, Troy, it was a pleasure, guys. I'm stoked that we were able to get this one knocked out.
As always.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got playoff basketball coming up, so Troy and I, as well as Vince, are going to be looking to do a a scrub of the playoffs. Maybe break down each series prize, see if we can't find any value. I know our team's not huge into futures bets, but when we look at something from the present and the now, and then we try to look at it in a 2-week scope or window, it helps us create different mediums and stepping stones with our betting insights and just perceptions as we move along. So that's why I like futures bets, because it helps me realize how my mindset has changed towards a team or how they've strictly just changed. So it helps me become a more in the now better. Anyways, more tangents. We're so full of them today.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Troy, do you think once the playoffs start, do you think you'll be taking the underdogs a little bit more? If you had to guess, without, you know, no super teams really.
Right. So in the first round, what's been good for me in the past, and especially when like the Warriors were just running train on everyone, first quarter bets of 1 versus 8 seeds. So a couple years ago, it was Bucks versus Magic and Warriors versus, I want to say, Blazers or something like that. First quarter and first half spreads, because these teams want to get out, they want to win quick so they can hurry up and clinch and get more rest. And I think that's even more prevalent now dealing with the shortened season. So I wouldn't say I bet the underdogs more unless I'm looking at, like, series prices. Like, for example, like Heat. Last season, they were underdogs, I think, in almost all their series. So that would have been plus money. And then they ended up in the finals, and they're shaping up like they can do it again this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm interested to see how it all shakes out. That's for dang sure.
I was just wondering, you know, because all these super, quote-unquote, super teams are kind of broken.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if these 8 seeds and 7 seeds will have more of a fighting chance.
I think in the West, yes, because your 7 and 8 seed is Lakers Warriors.
That's all the super teams.
Yeah, but in the East, the 8 seeds, 7 seeds, no. I think Boston is one of the two teams that's clinched a seed, and they clinched the 7 seed. So Boston's going to face the Nets. They're going to get absolutely dismantled. They only have Jason Tatum, really.
Yeah. It's starting to set in. I love the sedimentation that we're getting for the NBA. It's nice.
I like that word.
All right. Sedimentation.
Sedimentation.
All right, I learned that in earth science or physical science, eighth grade, Mr. Cromwell's class.
Mr. Cromwell. Yeah. All right, let's go.
Brandon Cromwell. Shout out to you, Mr. Science guy. All right, guys, we're going to wrap this one up. And we're going to have some more fun throughout the day with some bets, plays, picks, all that stuff. Don't forget to get your tally site stuff in, you two. And I can't wait for our listeners and everyone else to be able to come join the tally site train with us because it's a phenomenal thing.
Yeah, I love how that is shaping out.
Yeah, I gotta stop myself from another tangent because I'm so good at it. Troy, Blake, thank you again so much, guys. Blake is at Blake Lawatch, LaWatch. On Twitter. And then Troy is at Dwayne_TheRockJohnson.
J. Just the Rock J.
God dang it.
Well, Dwayne the Rock Johnson's too much. It's too long. It wouldn't let me do that. So I have to do J.
Man, you know I love you. So you're on our team. I know your Twitter handle. All I have to do is hit the at sign and then TR and it pops up. Bang. So yeah. I use your Twitter handle a lot. That's what matters. So,
exactly.
All right, guys. Well, it was my pleasure to having you guys on. Troy, your internet did wonderful. Thank you so much for hosting. And hoopballers out there, new and old and alike, and future ones, we're sending you all of our good vibes, all of our good energies. Go out there, be safe, be positive, be kind. Try to do like half of a nice thing for someone today if you can. It's Friday. And why not? Let's be breezy. So, Today in Sports Betting is out.
This has been a Hoop Bowl presentation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.